There's a fascinating tension in the technology landscape right now, between companies racing to deploy AI infrastructure and communities pushing back against the physical footprint of that infrastructure. At least 50 US cities have dropped Flock Safety's license plate reader contracts. And separately, local governments from Maryland to Washington State are imposing moratoriums on data center development. These stories seem unrelated, but they're actually both expressions of the same community-level concern, that technology deployments are happening faster than communities can evaluate their consequences.
The Flock Safety situation is primarily driven by data sharing concerns, specifically that license plate reader data collected for local law enforcement purposes was being shared with Federal Border Patrol and immigration enforcement. Cities that originally purchased Flock systems for traffic safety and crime reduction didn't sign up to become nodes in a federal immigration surveillance network. When that use became visible, the political calculus changed. The ACLU has been active in surfacing these agreements, and the 50-city cancellation figure suggests this isn't a fringe concern, it's a mainstream community governance response.
The data center moratoriums are about a different set of concerns. Power consumption, water usage, noise, and the gap between assessed tax value and actual community benefit. Prince George's County in Maryland, which is one of the highest concentration data center markets on the East Coast, approved a 2-year moratorium. That's not NIMBYism in the pejorative sense. That's a community saying we need to actually measure what's happening before approving more. The power grid implications are real. A single hyperscale data center can draw 100 to 500 megawatts, which is comparable to a small city.
The Waymo expansion to 4 new cities is the good news story in the autonomous vehicle space, though it comes paired with NHTSA warnings to self-driving car firms about emergency scene interference. That NHTSA warning is specifically about situations where autonomous vehicles stop in emergency corridors, block first responder access, or fail to yield appropriately in ambiguous situations. These aren't hypotheticals. There have been documented incidents in San Francisco where Waymo and cruise vehicles impeded fire and police response. The warning is NHTSA signaling that continued expansion requires demonstrated improvement on this specific failure mode.
The free knockoff Chrome extension filtering junk brands from Amazon search results is one of those open source consumer tools that represents genuine digital infrastructure for ordinary people. Amazon's search results have become substantially degraded by pseudo brands, products with no brand history, often manufactured by the same suppliers, but with generated brand names that dominate sponsored and organic results. Knockoff lets users either hide or dim these entries based on brand verification data. The project is open source, which means it can't be easily suppressed by Amazon's objection, and it addresses a real friction point in e-commerce.
John Deere's FTC, right to repair settlement, is important for both farmers and the broader right to repair movement. Deere was restricting access to diagnostic software and repair tools in ways that forced farmers to use authorized dealers, sometimes waiting weeks for a technician during critical planting or harvest windows. The settlement opens those tools to farmers directly. The broader significance is that it applies the FTC's enforcement capacity to embedded software restrictions in physical equipment, which sets precedent for repair rights in medical devices, consumer electronics, and industrial machinery more broadly.
This is actually a good moment to walk through some antitrust foundations, because the Deere case, the upcoming Paramount Warner Bros. Lawsuit, and the Bayer litigation all involve antitrust logic in different ways. The Sherman Act of 1890 prohibits two main things: agreements between competitors that restrain trade, which is Section 1, and monopolization or attempted monopolization, which is Section 2. A lot of people assume that having a dominant market position is itself illegal, but that's not actually what the law says. You can be the biggest company in your market without violating the Sherman Act. What matters legally is whether you acquired or maintained that position through anti-competitive conduct rather than through superior product or legitimate business practice.
That's exactly right, Sarah. And the Deere case is a good illustration. Deere's market share in agricultural equipment has been dominant for decades. That alone isn't the legal problem. The problem is the specific conduct of using software locks to prevent independent repair, which courts have increasingly found constitutes an anti-competitive restraint on the repair services market. You have to distinguish between the company being large and the company using its size to harm competition in an adjacent market. The states preparing to sue over the Paramount Warner Bros. Deal are making a similar structural argument, not just that the combined entity would be big, but that combining two of the five major remaining Hollywood studios would give the merged entity pricing power over content licensing that would harm streaming competitors and consumers.
The Bayer Roundup situation has a different antitrust flavor. It's more about tort liability than monopoly. But the Supreme Court win blocking failure to warn claims is significant because it removes one of the primary legal theories plaintiffs used to hold Bayer accountable for potential health harms from glyphosate. With nearly 4,000 federal cases now vulnerable to dismissal, Bayer is betting that this ruling lets it cap its litigation exposure. The question is whether plaintiffs' lawyers pivot to alternative theories that survive the ruling.